try that again. The time is 7:02 p.m. The date is January 6, 2015. This is Stormwatch, and tonight's forecast is podcast. All right. Hey, everybody. I'm Abra, and this is Stormwatch, episode 4, Electric Nazeeb Boogaloo. Probably the biggest stretch that we've had so far. So,
Couldn't even make it through that.
How's it going, everybody? Maid, we heard from you first. How you been?
Oh, pretty damn good. Sweet holidays, man.
Okay, nice, yeah, we're back.
Nice gifts, lots of cake, even more cake. And, story of my life.
Story of my life. I ate some cake.
Please don't do that.
Hey, Zavis.
Sup?
How are you today? You know, I just said your name, and you decide that now is the time
to take a drink.
Yeah, okay.
Drink to priority. I'm good. Doing all right. Some good holidays.
Yeah? What'd you do?
Went down to another city, visit family. Hung around. It was pretty good to start with, and then I was there for a bit longer for a dentist appointment, and then... So I just had a couple days where I was hanging around, but... Family and friends all kind of went back to work and doing things, and people were still gone from the city a lot, so kind of sat around in a comic shop for a couple days, just like, hey, what's up, guys?
Nice. Should play some Magic the Gathering with the comic nerds.
I did, whenever they were around. That's basically why I sat there. It was like, who's going to show up with a deck so I have something to do?
Hey, Biffy, you can unmute yourself.
Oh, I already did. I'm like 10 steps ahead of you all.
Oh, snap.
You're right where I'm supposed to be.
On top of that shit. Okay. How you been, man?
I've been fantastic. I had a great, some great time off the end of the past couple weeks. Got back into some of my old favorite games. I'm playing a lot of Borderlands 2, a lot of Hearthstone, which I thought I had sworn off months ago, but
I'm hashtag, sorry. I've never heard of any of these things. Is that like Heroes of the Storm but worse, or what?
It's like Heroes something you do Stone? In between games.
Oh, I gotcha. So like an osu kind of thing.
Well, when you're all heroes tier like us and your queues are like 10 minutes long, you need something to do, right?
Yeah,
that's what One Finger Death Punch is for.
Yeah, it was a good break. How about you? How have you been?
Oh my god, thank you so much for asking.
Oh, there we go.
I wasn't prepared for this.
I
had some sweet holidays. Spent Christmas just like basically doing nothing. My family, we usually like go to a bunch of relatives. I was like visited my grandma on Christmas Eve, and then kind of saw the family and a little bit, and then we just kind of hung out. It was sweet. So I did basically nothing. Got a new guitar. That was fun. I can show it to you guys. You want to see it?
Yeah, let's see it.
This is
her guitar.
I name all my guitars. This one's name is Galaxia. It's a classical acoustic guitar.
That's very pretty. Now, if I understand anything about classical acoustics versus other acoustics, is that the classical acoustic neck is wider?
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes, I know something. You're not the only one.
Watch podcast is what we're doing right now, and I think it's gonna go really well as long as Kevin stops singing at some point.
Kevin, I think you need to get your Mexican friends, and you need to give them guitars, and we need to do an intro to the show.
Ow. That might be a little too close to the mic.
Kevin had a great time.
Yeah, obviously.
I had a good Christmas. So let's talk about Nazeebo, because he's the first on our list, and he's the title hero of the podcast. We didn't have anything to talk about, so we're in kind of the downtime. We've got a week exactly before the closed beta starts, and that patch is going to bring about a whole bunch of different changes to interface stuff, to the game as a whole, new heroes, new map, you know, draft it's going to be nuts. Ranked mode and
basically Hero Apocalypse.
It's going to be Hero Palooza. And
the explosion of the number of people playing the game, the shortening of queue times.
They're keeping it really quiet as to what they're doing, so we have like nothing topical to bring up. So what we decided to do was we're just going to take one hero from each of us that we wanted to talk about and discuss them. So my choice was Sonya. Zavis, your choice was...
Hammer.
Sergeant Hammer. Maid, I believe you were Nazebo, correct?
Nazebo.
Yeah.
And, nice.
Mike, of course. Biffy. Stitches.
Yeah. My real name. What are you talking about? Yeah, Stitches. Stitches,
your bitches.
Oh. Yeah, I'm Stitches. Yeah, okay. I'll save it for my turn.
Yeah, okay. So let's hit on Nazebo here. I think the first thing to cover, of course, is... Oh!
Sure. Like that.
Something like that, yeah.
What?
So, let's talk about him. Yeah.
That's Zebo. That's it.
And then he's like...
Maid, it was your choice. Do you want to start it?
Sure. I mean, I don't know much to say. I don't know how I should start with him. I think Zebo is a very interesting character and many uses. I'm surprised he doesn't get used in tournaments more often because he has some pretty sick DPS. It really messes with people when you put a wall in your face.
The only discussion I've ever heard about Nazebo was in the form of, hey, his ultimate is really, really good, and that's why you should play him. And if you can stun him while he's using his ultimate, he's really, really bad. Because, like, I was listening to Town Hall Heroes, who are going to be on, I think they're starting in an hour, right? So, you guys should definitely listen to them.
Probably, I will.
Probably more than us. Biffy, you stick around.
All right.
But I remember them having a long discussion.
So I'll just turn on their podcast and listen to both.
Yeah, you're just like responding to the wrong people. It's just like, yeah. Solid Jack Egg, you are so right about that. anyway, they were having this long discussion about Nazebo, and the entire time all they were talking about was Ravenous Spirit. It's a huge source of damage for him because all of his other abilities, like, feel so awkward to me. So, like, we all played all of the heroes that we wanted to talk about, and my thoughts playing Nazebo are just... Corpse Ball is, like, a really cool skill-intensive skill, you know? Really interesting. But other than that, Plague of Toads and Corpse Spiders are both... such strange, like, non-intuitive abilities. They just don't feel very good to me.
Yeah, I think the right... I have the right word in mind, but it left me. I think it's awkward. That's the best way to describe Nazebo. Unreliable, yeah. And awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you make him work, he is, like, god-tier DPS. He has so much damage, and... I mean, he even has utility with Corpse Wall and
kind of like Zagara. Also has absurd amounts of DPS.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, maybe people have figured out Zagara more than Nazebo. Or maybe Zagara just has more use because of creep and the way she can solo mercs and stuff like that.
I mean, Zagara just feels like a more fluid champion. I mean, if we're talking about how Nazebo feels awkward or clunky, I mean, I think the big difference between Nazebo and Zagar is right there. Like, all of the abilities, the rotations that you can pull on Zagar just feel easier. They feel like they make more sense. But, again, like, this is all coming from the perspective of someone who's played plenty of Zagar, but not any Nazebo. It's just based on the experiences I've seen others play Nazebo. It just seems kind of... odd, but when you see that alt come out, you're like, okay, this is why we have Nazebo. Yes.
That seems about right, yeah. He does definitely feel awkward. It's most of your game is just stutter stepping and hitting people with poison, and then just kind of keeping the poison dot on them so they're surprised by how much damage they're taking, and then landing the zombie walls And yeah, like you guys have said, Plague Toads and Corpse Spiders just feel rather underwhelming.
Like when we work, they're amazing, but it's like, how do I make it work? It feels more like luck when it works than like actual, like, I planned this all along, haha.
Yeah, or just really good positioning, like, yeah. You throw out your Plague Toads in the middle of some sort of a clustered fight, and they really don't have any options but to get hit by them, because moving away from them would be more devastating. Yeah, okay. It's a bit awkward.
So I
do like them.
It's interesting that, like, I wasn't expecting this at all. We seem to, in general, and, like, please disagree with me if you do, we don't seem to like him very much, Nazebo, just as a, in terms of design. Would you guys agree with that?
I mean, I don't react poorly when I see a Nazebo on my team.
Oh, no.
I just...
Just gameplay-wise, like, the way that he feels to play, how fun he is. Do you guys, Danny, you guys like Nazebo?
Kind of 50-50. Yeah. I like the way he plays, but I wouldn't mind some changes, you know? Changes to Plague Toads and stuff like that.
Yeah, Plague Toads feels really like... Well, so I think the problem stems from the fact that he's designed as a specialist. The point of Nazebo is, like, to do specialist things, which I think, although it's not super clearly defined, is generally, like, to be a pusher, you know? And, you know, obviously Plague of Toads, it's conveniently, when you have it at max range, it hits both towers and the wall when you're pushing. And Corpse Spiders is pretty good for taking down minions. And then that leaves Corpse Wall as his... Wait. Corpse Spiders?
Zombie Wall.
Zombie Wall. Right, right, right. That makes more sense. Zombie Wall is kind of his, like, utility, like, team fight ability. But Plague of Toads and Corpse Spiders both don't feel like you're supposed to be using them on the enemy team, and that just, like, it makes playing him very awkward. Because
I guess the problem might be that he's too, he's literally too generalist. Like all of his skills can be used for, like, everything. Like, corpses can be used to block,
really.
or they can be used to soak up tower shots or minion hits, you know, when you're doing camps. But they don't seem, like, to excel in any particular one, you know? Like, maybe I don't really want to use Corpse Wall to tank ogre shots, but I have to. So, maybe it's that. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like he is kind of... Blizzard seems to have this idea that they are going to create a game where there are classes that just never really participate in teamfights. Like, Murky is an okay example of that, where he just, like... He slimes people, and, like, he's got Blood for Blood and in Venom for some reason, but...
So he can team fight.
It's not, like, it seems like it's not very well thought out, like, what he's supposed to be doing. And then Zagara is like, the ultimate, like, you know, she has the minions. I mean, Asmodan is the ultimate split pusher, but Zagara kind of feels like she's designed that way with roaches and with, oh, especially Banelings, and yet she has, like, the highest single target DPS in the game, or very close to it. If you are able to survive as Zagara, she doesn't have any escapes, unless you count just, like, ducking away into a cleverly placed Nidus network. She doesn't have any escapes. She just is trying to get ignored and then does ridiculous amounts of damage. That's not really a specialist.
It's kind of like a stray Vala, where everybody is protecting Vala, and meanwhile you can't hit her, and you're doing crazy amounts of DPS.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that. Like, everybody wants to protect Visagara.
Which is great. It's a fun mechanic, but then don't define her as a specialist. And that stems to, like, me not liking the fact that they're, like, classifying their heroes at all beyond just...
Well, I was...
Go ahead.
I was thinking, I kind of have a bold prediction to make here. And I think we've seen the first stage of what I would claim Blizzard is. Blizzard released Jaina to test out the viability of ranged assassins that function purely as casters. And that when they make a major rebalancing pass, they're going to be reclassifying certain champions, and they're going to be changing their abilities based on their reclassifications. And I could see them changing to Zeebo or Zagara, given how much damage they already have, to fit a better defined role. So, for example, we saw Tassadar deal way too much damage, provide way too much utility, and had his damage taken away. So that he would better fit a support role. I think either they should or they will do that to Nazebo. That's my bold claim.
Hmm.
We'll see if I'm right.
I think it's possible. I definitely hope they don't keep going that way, like you're predicting. I would rather if get rid completely of that specialist assassin tank healer, you know, thing. But if they don't, I guess that could be a way to go.
I don't think they will. I mean, it's Blizzard. They have a history and pattern of taking complicated or semi-complicated games and making them even more accessible to the general, like, video game playing public. So I have a feeling that they're going to keep those roles because that's how they consider to make the game more clear.
It's their idea of accessing the casual atmosphere.
Right.
So I've got a question on that. Do you, like, when you take objection to having them grouped into these roles, is it that mostly you just don't want Blizzard to feel constrained by, say, oh yeah, Zagara is a specialist, so she should do these things, and then have to build abilities around that categorization?
That's certainly
how I
feel.
Or do you just kind of, yeah, because I mean, there's nothing wrong with the category in and of itself, right? Like, it's more, if you just completely ignored the fact that they existed, it wouldn't make any difference to you, right? Like, just because Zagara is classified as a specialist doesn't mean you can't take her into a game and be like, hey guys, I'm an assassin.
You know, there's another angle I'm thinking as to why they would keep these different roles is that if you look at esports, if you look at, well, maybe I'm wrong. I was thinking about, you know, they have, in League, for example, League of Legends, the LCS will have defined top lane, mid lane, or like, you know, ADC support or jungler for these teams. And it's like one way they market the product on an esports level is that they're able to hype individual players at individual positions because it creates more compelling storylines. It just kind of adds an additional dimension of, I guess, detail to the product they're putting out as an esport. So I have a feeling they'll probably keep it. If you look at the teams that are getting picked up, like the team that just got picked up by Dignitas, you know, they have like defined, you know, like there's an only warrior player, there's an specialist or assassin player, etc. And I think, like, in the same way that regular sports have positions, esports has their own positions, and I think they'll probably just keep that trend.
That's cool. I appreciate that as an idea, because it's a very different play style, and different people have, you know, even at a casual level, you know that you're either a good warrior or a good assassin, etc. And that translates to the competitive scene for sure. But I think that what I'd like to see is Blizzard creating heroes that can kind of float a little bit, and then some that do one thing the best. Because depending on how the draft goes, it could really add a lot of different dimensions where you can play... for instance, let's talk about, you know, you know what, who's next? I'll use him as an example. Stitches, okay? Like, if they really pushed the slam build and made him, like, a DPS assassin who's beefy, still a bruiser, but could do a lot of damage, especially with, you know, Bile, and then also had a build for him where he was very, very tanky, could provide some CC and, like, utility.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, I don't think Stitches should be like that, because Stitches is very obviously 100% a tank. But, like, just as an example, have some, like, I think about it in the old WoW model, where, like, originally mages did more damage than druids, because druids could do a bunch of stuff. So if you were gonna level a druid to 60, then you had a lot more options, but you weren't gonna be quite as good at anything. And I think there should be players who can kind of be flex spots, and then you know, your average team could have three people who are one tank, one assassin, one support, and then like a guy who's really good with specialists, and the specialists sometimes deal damage and sometimes are more concerned with pushing, and then like a guy who's kind of off tanking a lot of the time, and you know, just depending on the situation. That's what I'd like.
I do have my two cents on this, if I may. I mean, my personal biggest problem, I have several problems with the system of classification that they're trying to push. Like, first of all, it limits both Blizzard and the players. The players, it's less of a problem by itself, but it does lead to some frustrating situations. But I don't know if that's, like, if you can escape that anyways, even with other classifications. Where, like, say I'm Brightwing, right? So people are going to be like, oh, Brightwing's a support. But Brightwing can also dish out a huge amount of DPS within Venom, and, you know, depending on how you spec him and stuff like that. So if I try to go more for DPS and stick around a bit less for healing, people are going to be like, oh, what are you doing, Brightwing, when I'm in a pub, you know? they're gonna get mad at me. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you trying to do damage? Like, that's not your role. And I'm like, well, that's what we need right now, you know? Mm-hmm. We need more burst. We don't need more healing.
And communication can help with that. But, of course, in a pub, right?
And like, especially when you're in ranked,
people who don't care.
A week from now, communicating that beforehand, you know, like, oh, this is, draft is going this way, I think I'm going to try and build a DPS build. That'll help. But yeah, you do tend to kind of get pigeonholed into doing a very specific set of things when you are the support, and it's written down on the screen, support. Yeah.
And and at the same time, it also limits Blizzard, because then they have to fit in that classification. They can't go, oh, let's build a super weird character like what's those
goblin dudes techies?
Tankies.
Oh,
yeah.
Techies.
They end up being Gazlo or something.
Oh,
like,
no,
that,
Murky.
Right?
If they put a techie Murky style character in the game, it's not gonna look anything like Gazlo.
No, it was like techies. Or
it's gonna
like
look
Murky
like your worst nightmare.
Someone had already said, like, someone found a goblin techies splash art in
and
the
then they said,
source foil and stuff, and then someone said, yeah, that was in there at one point, and it just kind of ended up being merged into Murky's kit. So
Biffy, you have techies. It's Murky. You're welcome.
Wait, what?
Murky
is techies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know. Jeez. I think I've played maybe like five or six Murky games. I think I've won only like one or two of them.
I'm getting kind of close to my master skin with him.
Oh, jeez. He's fun. It's just it's such a playstyle adjustment from how I normally play, since I just play a lot of warriors.
Oh, see, it's not a playstyle adjustment for me at all, because I just die all the time, no matter who I'm playing.
You and every other Murky.
I got this.
No. I do that when I'm not playing Murky. So when I play Murky, it makes me play so much better.
Guys, I know how this works.
I go from having
used to this, guys.
I'm so
doesn't even matter.
I'm so bad at staying alive in this game. I'm so just shockingly, nonsensically bad at staying alive that when I play any other hero, I'm the bottom deaths, and then all of a sudden I'm hero of the storm playing Murky, and it makes me feel so good.
Well, there's only a couple, I think, of Murkys I've ever played with that are like that. I'm definitely not one of them. I'm so bad at Murky.
Oh, I didn't say I'm any good. I just said I'm hero of the storm, because your deaths don't count. Especially when as soon as people start, like, they kill your egg once and you get away. You take the egg, you put it in spawn, and you're just like, I'm getting hero of the storm. Even if I'm going to be, like, way more downtime.
Aren't we glad that we didn't actually have Murky on the list?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
well, you know, we can talk about whatever we want. It's just,
so, Biffy, how about
But I know that you want to talk about Stitches, yeah.
Well, first I want to say, if Blizzard ever does change Stitches to be an assassin, I will never play another
Champion. Not what I was trying to say, but yeah.
No, it would remind me of kind of like the way Tychus looks like. He has all this armor and he's this beefy dude, but he goes down after a couple auto attacks. It'd be the same thing with Stitches. He's this giant A-bomb, but... yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I forgot about the second one. What am I... What am I even saying? Stitches. So Stitches is my by far my favorite champion in the game, mainly because when I grew up playing MOBAs in high school and I was playing a lot of Dota, I played Pudge. I believe his name was Pudge. All the time. Pudge had a hook. He had a he had an ult where he bit someone and held them down. He had a big AoE awesome thing. Oh, Zavis, SOS. See you later, Zavis. And so he played very similarly to the way Stitches plays now. Luckily, there have been many improvements to the general game engines and coding in these games since Dota came out. And so the hook mechanics actually make sense. And so it's just a very fun experience. I think as a tank, if you're to look at, let's say, when Blizzard takes hero design and they decide what kind of, you know, like what kind of, I guess, utility or what does a general, like what does a champion bring to the table? And they kind of budget out, all right, they'll have these utility spells. So you look at Stitches, he has a pull and he has access to an ult that will, in, you know, many ways, count as crowd control on a single target. Versus, let's say, Arthas. His utility budget is much larger. He has he has a self-heal. He has a root. I guess Stitches also has a self-heal on a really high cooldown. Arthas has a self-heal. He has a root. He has an AoE slowing field that doesn't really cost that much mana. And
he has another
either
self-heal.
Rune Tap has got to be one of the most ridiculously awesome.
And then he has another self-heal.
Right. And so I guess what I'm saying is that Stitches, I think, is in the position of Warriors in overall melee, where he's very high up on I guess, my imaginative tier list, but he's not going to be at the top until Arthas gets toned down in any sort of way. Really, I think the best advantages that Stitches provides over a champion like Arthas is that Stitches, at all points in the game, has higher total HP and has higher per level HP gain, in addition to higher HP regen and HP regen per level gain than Arthas. So at level 1, they're only going to have a 20 health difference, but by level 25, if any of your games, I still have yet to play a level 25 game.
Really?
If any of your games make it that far, yeah. Never.
Maiden and I immediately, before playing this show, the opposing team was 27 and we were 25. We actually got wrecked because I blame our team. It was definitely not Maid's fault for playing level 1 Jaina, but
oh. No, you know, Jaina has some decent level 1 talents.
They're okay.
But yeah, like at level 25, Arthas and Stitches will have 1,000 more, around 980 more HP than Arthas. But on the other hand, Arthas has more utility and at level 25 will have, let's see, can I do my quick math, roughly 70 more damage just on his auto attacks over Stitches. And so you'll see that they're obviously designed to play differently, but Arthas is like a bruiser, tank, CC, root machine that heals himself. And Stitches is just really fucking fun and awesome, but does not bring that level of utility to the game.
I think
he's really fun in pub matches. Oh, go on.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely fun, especially just because the long hooks, especially when you upgrade it, are just the most satisfying thing you can do in the game. But I think the problem just stems from you've got three axes for a tank, which are sustainability, damage, and utility, right? And Arthas has all three. That's something that's been talked about. It's pretty clear that he needs to be nerfed. He's the only one who didn't get hit by the like wide range of nerfs that they had in the last big patch, in the Jaina patch. But like, Stitches has very good utility and very good survivability, but
yeah,
he doesn't have.
Oh yeah,
he does have some amount of damage with Slam, but he doesn't have the survivability or the damage of Arthas. Even if he has a little, he has more utility.
His Slam build can really keep up in the total damage to champions, which is again why it's my favorite build. But yeah, he will get outpaced by Arthas, especially a really aggressive diving Arthas. But, you know, it's Stitches. Like, you know, he has a hook. He
no, has a hook.
My favorite part of Stitches is, honestly, like, you know what? Forget the hook. It's his zoning potential, especially if he takes Putrid Bile. He can just walk right past the front line and just ruin an assassin or specialist day. It's really fun. And so I think, you know, that's my favorite way to play him, is just to be this big, ugly mass of HP that just, like, fucks up their Vala. Just like, goodbye, Vala, you are dead. So that's kind of... why Stitches is my favorite guy. Also, he snaps me out of losing streaks when I try champions I'm really terrible at. So,
I'm sorry. Can we put that on a t-shirt, please? But he's got a hook.
But he's got a hook.
But he's got a hook.
Change the title to
also,
that.
Also, actually, I want to take this moment, we're talking about the hook, to make a public service announcement. For people who are playing...
Really? Wait. Don't say it yet.
Oh, do you have something ready for this?
Hang on. I'm going to.
He's trying to.
That's why I said hang on. Obviously, I don't have anything ready for this, because if I did, then I wouldn't have to be telling you, hang on. Okay, this is going to be real good. All right. Go ahead.
Now?
Yeah.
Public service announcement to anyone who plays Stitches. Please don't pull the tank to us. Please don't pull their Arthas into our face. Please. I urge all of you to exercise caution and even maybe just pretend that you don't even have a hook and that you don't have a Q and that you just walk around and eat things and slam things. Thank you.
And also, don't smother you kids.
Yes. Don't. All right, that's all I have to say about Stitches. He's fun, he's a tank. Arthas kind of renders him, mundane. Or not mundane, but irrelevant if you're going for pure, like, tier list style hero choices. But I think in the same way that Arthas makes Stitches irrelevant, I think Stitches makes Sonya irrelevant. So,
oh my god!
It's true, though.
Hold
he has a longer hook.
On that one.
I was just about...
Not only a longer hook, but have you seen that slam? Okay, I'm done.
What do you have to say about... Okay, yeah. I've got another one. You go ahead. Talk Stitches.
It's Stitches related, because I noticed on Stitches his talent that no one takes and probably never should. It's like his level 7, where when you use Gorge, you gain permanent 2 HP regen per level. Or I think it's only if you use it on a hero or something like that.
Yeah, it is.
But so that just got me thinking, because I saw that when I was messing with Stitches. How much HP regen do you need to make it worth it? You know, because like I checked his health, and like at the time I got it, my HP regen per level was like 8 or 9. So like I took it to mess around, and immediately like, okay, I just went up 2 times, and like every time I use this, I'm getting twice as much HP regen as I'm getting for leveling up. But how much does that really matter? Like, I was trying to do the math. You get 30 HP regen per second. You still need to take 10 seconds to gain 300 health. And then that's like an auto attack or two?
The HP regen is so minor. And especially if you decide to combo, like if you go at level 10, take Putrid Bile, and then at level 20, the name's escaping me, but if you take the talent at level 20, that increases the Putrid Bile duration and the it gives you 50% of the damage back as healing. That's where the real ability to like literally sit on top of 5 people and heal yourself to full the entire time. And that burst of healing regen is going to, you know, be much more important than a potential increased 30 per second. That's the way I've always felt about it. Like, I saw that talent and was just like, the cooldown, if the cooldown was lower, I think that talent would become better. Like, I think there's an e-build in there. In his talent tree, but I don't think that it is as effective.
I think I agree with you there, exactly. The one holding that back is you can't. It's what is it, a 30-second cooldown?
Yeah, it is 30 or
45. It's just prohibitive.
I think it's 35. Yeah.
I mean, it's just not worth it. It's so high that you really have to be smart as to when you decide to use it in a team fight.
Yeah,
like, it'll make the difference between you dying and living.
Yeah, so you can't really be farming it when you're about to like get ganked and you can't survive without it. But I think they're definitely learning their lesson with Jaina that they want to have multiple talent builds available.
Yeah.
In which case, we could see like a really kick-ass regen Stitches. We've got.
I'd be all down for that.
We've got a Sliffid. I'm not sure how you pronounce your name, buddy. Talking about how Stitches is actually very powerful, and I totally agree. And if you ban Arthas, you take Stitches if you need a pure tank. But I think Stitches will be very, very good once Arthas just gets toned down a bit. And
or just gets banned every game.
Yeah. Yeah. But like obviously Arthas is like not in a great place right now. He's a little too good at everything. But I think it's definitely worth talking about how to play Stitches and what he's good at and what needs to change, so you can kind of be ready for when they ultimately, very obviously, are going to be changing him. Which I think is the same case with Sonya.
Okay, I'll let you do it this time.
Yeah, you wish.
Sonya is a character who I absolutely love. She's my pick for our kind of hero discussion here. And I am just absolutely in love with her, and she's so bad right now. But she's close. She's very close. The thing is,
I tried something when we decided who we were gonna cover. I played a couple Sonya games, and I just decided I'm not going to actually pay any attention to the warrior role and pretend that it actually says assassin.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And it changed the entire experience. You have to be super selective when you use your abilities, but damn, you can still pump up. That being said, I wish she was a more bruiser, and I think you're generally right. She's in a rough spot.
Go ahead, Maid.
I do think Sonya, the reason we're so careful about buffing certain heroes like Sonya is that she's like a bit too much buff for her could make her absolutely ridiculous because of a rage system. True. If you don't even buff damage, just buff fury generation and stuff like that, suddenly she becomes crazy. If you add a bit too much damage or even attack speed doesn't seem that ridiculous, but I mean, she's doing more damage and she's range, generating more. So it's really tricky to buff her correctly.
She definitely spirals a lot, but I think the thing that they need to figure out. So here's what I've been thinking with Sonya, and it's complicated, but like she has a lot of different builds that are close. Where you know, obviously her leap is incredibly good and kind of necessary, and I think that's the problem with her right now is her leap is a high cooldown, very high impact spell that you just need to take in order to really play her right. And her other ultimate is really strong, but you just die all the time because you can't get away. You don't have CC. Your only CC is your like grab, where you pull whatever it's called, ancient spear.
Yeah, jump.
You pull towards them and you stun them very briefly. Other than that, you don't really have any way to survive in the game. So leap being her ultimate seems like problematic, and Blizzard has acknowledged that to some extent. They've said there's too much power in her leap and not enough elsewhere. So I think what you need to do is play her as an assassin for now, like Biffy said, because you just can't. Like, you can't tank with her, because her tanking comes from her Whirlwind. Whirlwind, especially when you upgrade it, Life Funnel, and the duration increase, you have incredible amounts of tankiness, but then Whirlwind ends, and even when you increase the duration, you've still got 5 seconds of really awkward kind of running around, like, Ancient Spearing who you can, and, like, Seismic Slamming a little bit, and it's just, she's just not there right now, and I don't know what they do to fix her.
Honestly, well, I would propose probably something that could be overpowered, but I think it would be an appropriate change. Blizzard likes to stay within the thematics, you know? They don't want to make something that's uncharacteristic of a hero, which can end up screwing over things, you know? Because then they get too stubborn. I think for Berserker, I've never played Diablo, so I can't really align myself with how the Berserker in Diablo was.
The game,
but along the lines of an actual Berserker, I think damage resistance upon being attacked would be a way to fix it. Like, say she activates a passive or something like that, which doubles, you know, and every hit you take boosts your damage resistance by a flat 2% up to 20% or something, you know. And
so she's less good being against bursty heroes, but better against sustained damage.
Yeah. I mean, if you hit her too much, you're risking that she's getting a bit too much damage resistance, you know? But it doesn't get too crazy either.
I think, so if it were to be about following the Diablo model, that pass would be very similar, but I think it would be predicated on how many, like, subsequent auto-attacks Sonya, like, makes against enemy champions. Because in the passive forces Sony to play hyper aggressive like a Berserker, where they just kind of like focus on their foe and, you know, go crazy hacking away at them. I think that would be how it would get implemented. It just in like a thematic sense.
Yeah.
But in that sense, it's kind of already what they've done with passive lifesteal, or I guess that's a talent at the beginning, Warpaint. But a lot of her things, you know, the Whirlwind, and if you take Warpaint, they push in that direction that you just said, is get in there and deal damage, and that's how you're going to stay alive.
Yeah, I love that aspect of her, but you know what I think would be... So this is a huge change. This is on a rework level, and you need to completely reevaluate the hero when you do this. But if you just took Whirlwind and Leap, and you just...
And we take Whirlwind and move it somewhere else.
Literally, give it to Abathur.
No. Whirlwind is now your second ult. Leap is now your E. Obviously, Leap you have to shorten the range a lot. Maybe take out the stun completely and just have it deal damage. Maybe have it do just like a quick stun to interrupt without doing a long stun.
If you want to grab its CC, I would probably just say give it a small slow.
Yeah. Even
otherwise,
that,
having an interrupt would be...
Having an interrupt, and, you know, the cooldown, you know, we'll talk, Blizzard. You know, hit me up, we'll figure it out. But I think Whirlwind was a level... So Diablo 2, because Diablo 2 I'm much more familiar with than Diablo 3. Whirlwind was, I believe, a level 30 skill, which was the highest of the skill tree. And Whirlwind was, like, the big ability. And I see Whirlwind and, what's it called? Her other ult. What is her other heroic ability? I can't remember what it is.
Wrath of the Berserker.
Wrath of the Berserker. Thank you, man.
Which is awesome.
Avatar.
Avatar. Oh, yeah. Right.
I think that's what it's called in Diablo.
Yeah. Then...
Oh, they can't do that because Muradin's Avatar.
Yeah. So what I think would happen would be if you want to build a damage Sonya, you build Wrath of the Berserker, because she gets this crazy, she gets anti CC, which allows you to dish out more damage. You could she gets more DPS that way. That's already set up that way. And if you want a tank, you get Whirlwind, you make it into a, like, maybe a smaller heal, but make it toggleable, no cooldown, or maybe a cooldown when you toggle it off, but, like, allow you to leave it indefinitely, and then that's how you tank with her. You keep that aspect of when you go in and get in the fight, you get more tanky, and you heal more, but you don't have that weird, like, kind of tension where you have Whirlwind on and then it ends and you just kind of go slam some people and wait for Whirlwind again
and cry,
yeah, and just like run away. That doesn't feel very barbarian to me, to like run in Whirlwind and then go fuck,
I'm dead, oh no,
because that's how she feels right now. I love her. I still love playing with her so much, and she's great for solo queue because she's pretty, although she's bad at a lot of things. She, Biffy and chat. There's somebody, okay, so we've got Commodore in chat going, hey, who's in chat? And we're like, oh, well, all of us are. And he's like, sup? Biffy just goes, oh, you know, talking about games. That's excellent. So, you know, that'll relieve some of the tension, I think. But she's, even right now, is a lot of fun as kind of a damage dealer and a tank. Just, she needs to be better at it.
I think two quick changes before, you know, we move on to the other last hero, I think.
You mean Sergeant Hammer segue? Just cut you off and start talking about Hammer.
Damn it! Foiled again. I would say maybe give her a dash and an ability that you can toggle between modes.
Ooh.
So, like, maybe toggle a seismic slam so that it doubles as another ability. That's pretty cool. You know, another spammable Q. Or is, yeah, Q, because whirlwind's W. I would give her a dash on her E. So that way she can reposition herself, you know. She can take Wrath of Berserker and then immediately go towards someone to hit on them, you know. Just bam, bam, bam. Because a problem with Wrath right now is that, yeah, without any way to get to characters, if you miss your leash, you're kind of screwed, you know? People can just body block you, and there's no way you can get to the casters or to anyone, really. So with a dash, you get a multi-purpose ability that, you know, lets you run away when you're on cooldowns or off fury, and lets you close the gap. So that's my thought.
So
the sleepyhead in chat brought up a good point that CC especially punishes Sonya. So I was going to ask you all if you think that do you think it would be a good idea to give Sonya access to the endurance talent?
Yes,
it reduces absolutely. The effects of crowd control by 50%.
So here's the thing, that's what Wrath of the Berserker does. But yeah, do you know why CC wrecks Sonya? There's one reason for it. And that's because it interrupts Whirlwind. Yeah, which is why what I was saying is, make Whirlwind her ult, make it so that you can toggle it, that it doesn't have a crazy cooldown, and then you can stay on it, you know? And then you are still going to get shut down by CC, in that you get shut down by it like CC does. It controls you as the crowd. But then if you want to go damage Sonya, you can build Wrath of the Berserker and have 75% reduced CC, and then you just seismic slam to victory.
I'm going to say, how about we just take it a step further and we get real crazy here, and we keep this 50% disable reduction from Wrath of the Berserker and give her access to endurance, but in a way where the two 50% stack additively, and she's just immune to disables during Wrath of the Berserker.
That would be so awesome. I don't think you could have a 100% uptime ult that completely disables crowd control.
Oh.
Which, right, by the way, Wrath of the Berserker is.
That's what I was actually going to say. That's a kind of a segue to another thing I wanted to mention. So you, Abra, were saying you think she plays as an assassin, like a bruiser assassin a lot. Did anyone else try playing her kind of as a tanky split pusher? Because I did that a few times. It does hurt, but it's really good when people underestimate you, because everything you guys have been saying so far is kind of what makes her good at that. Like, slam does a ton of damage to minions just in a straight line. Whirlwind crushes minion waves. If you get Wrath of the Berserker as your ult, it makes you super vulnerable, but you can literally pop that, go start attacking a fort, and just keep wailing on it. A fort cannot kill you, almost. Like, you just do that, you start getting low, you whirlwind, you hit two walls and a tower, and you're gaining more health than you're taking. You can pretty much tear down a fort on your own if the enemy doesn't get time to deal with you. And it's really, really interesting. Like, I'm not saying that it's good per se, but it's an interesting way of playing her.
Yeah, she can definitely play the specialist role to an extent, because she has a lot of, if you just seismic slam towers, that's what I was doing in the game me and Mage just played. I was doing 620 damage at 1 second intervals, maybe, to like two towers at the same time. It's nuts.
Yeah, maybe people just haven't figured some heroes out. I think it's totally a possibility. You know, maybe people just haven't learned how to adapt a team to make that work. Maybe people just haven't had the courage. Obviously, some buffs are needed, some nerfs are needed to make them more completely viable. But, I mean, people fought Illidan was completely useless, and they didn't really even buff him. And look at him, he's amazing now, you know? Yeah. He was fine all along.
Yeah, Sonya is, like, I keep trying different things with Sonya. I do a different build every game, which is probably not the best way to figure out the best thing to do with Sonya, because I never have a chance to actually learn the playstyle. But, like, I've just kind of been messing around with her a lot, because she's so interesting to me, and I just, like, I like her. She's got a soothing voice. She just goes, "Speak, pup," and I just go, "Okay. All right, maybe I will." It's like, "I take no joy from killing you." And I'm just like, wow, that's deep, Sonya. That's not like your average barbarian. That's subversive, you know, man? So that's why I like
Sonya. So speaking of split pushing, how about that Sergeant Hammer?
Sergeant Hammer.
I think we should go back to the Zebro, actually.
Segway song! Segway song!
No, please. Time. No, it's over.
So, Sergeant Hammer, this is Zavis's pick. This is the last one. What do you think about Sergeant Hammer?
Starting here?
Yeah, go for it.
I think she has potential to be good, but there's a lot of situation. It's very situational, I'll say that. She's really weak to some team comps and actually really strong against others. And her really low overall mobility can be a big con in some situations. Like, the fact that she can't mount to get around the map can really be a hindrance. Like, her speed boost is great to sort of get away and run out of a fight
almost short term. Sometimes.
But that's like, it gets you out of a fight short term, but over the long term, like if you're trying to cross the whole map to get back to safety, they're going to catch you just by mounting. It just kind of gets you out of there right away if you're not too far from your own base. And yeah, I think that if you can set it up right, like she might get better. Maybe make a pseudo prediction here as well. Like once you get draft mode in and you can kind of see what the team comps are going to look like and what map you're on before you have to make that choice, you can be like, oh, I'm like fourth pick for our team, and so far this is looking pretty good. I can totally snag Sergeant Hammer here, and you know, if they don't pick Illidan or Zeratul as their next pick, they're not going to have any real ways to deal with me. Because those are things that I found were really annoying. Like, if an Illidan gets on you and you're nowhere in your safety, you're just screwed.
Well,
it's really hard to get away.
Yeah, Illidan is pretty good against Hammer in general.
Yeah, but I really like her. She can force, and I want to hear what your guys' thoughts on this are, because this is basically why I brought up Hammers. I feel like she can force teams to adapt different strategies. Like, you can not worry as much about objectives sometime, because you can just sit there and take down someone's forts while they're worrying about grabbing the tribute, or like they're fighting over coins and you have a 4v5 in the middle and your team's just kind of like doing enough poke to keep them from turning their coins in, meanwhile you just took down a base. Like,
yeah,
which is interesting.
My opinion on both Lily and Hammer is regardless of how fun they are, how strong they may be, the stuff, I will never 100% like them until they get more abilities and become kind of less dumb. I mean, regardless
really, you think
of
that
all
about
the
Hammer,
it's all basic attacks. That's my point of frustration. I think heroes need. I think they all need abilities and stuff to keep you active, you know. Like, Sergeant Hammer, you're just thinking about what others are doing, not really what you're doing.
Yeah, but
You don't really need to focus targets or stuff like that, you know? You just click once, and then you switch targets now and then. But you're laying down your Widow, your Spider Mines in advance, and that's that, you know? You're not doing some sick ability micro. You're not Brightwing doing, like, 8 different abilities in 10 seconds. Yeah, just feels boring to me.
My issue with that criticism is I think that that's her biggest strong suit, is the fact that she's so entirely tactics-based. There's no mechanics, really. You knock people back every once in a while. That's very easy to deal with. And, like, everything else, when to siege, where to put your spider mines, So, you know, if you take the orbital thing, what is it called?
The BFG, I think, or
the BFG orbital.
BFG.
The orbital BFG that goes around placing that. All of these things are just tactics based. It's long term strategy. And then once you get that all figured out, you set up, you start auto attacking, you do shit tons of damage, and then while you're auto attacking, you're figuring out what you're gonna do next. You know, I think that that's a fantastic playstyle. I am terrible at that and will never be able to play. I played Sergeant Hammer a bit for this episode and just got wrecked all the time. But I respect it so much that the people who want to play a highly like intelligent tactics-based game can do that. That's how I feel.
I'm down with it. Like, this is just personal preference about like playstyle and how fun it is.
Sure.
But it just doesn't feel hardcore enough. Like, if you wanted tactics, I would
You're playing a Blizzard game, man.
Techie. Go full techie. Like, I think the original Dota techies couldn't even attack. They were entirely based on mines.
Yeah. They had an auto attack. It was just
really, they did?
Very weak.
Yeah, it's really weak, you know?
They did. It was irrelevant.
So it was all about your mines, entirely about the tactics, not even about, like, basic attacks, you know? It made it much more high risk reward, I guess. So that's
I think Sergeant Hammer is really fun. But my biggest beef is that I think Sergeant Hammer requires specific team comps. I think without a reliable and stable frontline, I think that Sergeant Hammer just becomes a liability for your team, and you're like trading a spot that could go to a different, a specialist spot that could go to Zagara or Abathur or even Asmodan or Nazebo. I mean, it's just I think it requires a very specific team comp for you to get the most out of Star Hammer. That being said, I've gotten wrecked before by good hammers and teams that were like protecting their hammer.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant actually.
Yeah, and like that, and when that happens, the damage is unreal. Like if you're playing Zeratul and you have to deal with a well-protected hammer, like it's got to be one of the most frustrating things I've had happen in this game. So I would say that's kind of my general thought on hammer. Fun champion, but one I don't play very often.
Yeah, I haven't played her that often.
Playing with like you all,
but that's exactly right back to what I meant. It's you really need the right team comps. You need, you know, the enemy team to not have certain things, or for your team to have things to help you with them, and generally just have a team that is like conscious of the fact that hammer is not the same as every other hero in the game and requires slightly different things. Yeah, it's a specialist.
She's an actual specialist. Like, that's no
kind
other
of how I feel
is.
Like specialists work. You know, like Abathur is similar to that too. Like, you kind of have to understand
what
the specialist is doing, because if you don't get the specialist, then you're not going to allow them to do their job very well.
Unless it's Zagara and she just team fights with everyone else.
Yeah, unless it's Zagara and she just makes a bunch of damage. But
whoa,
Lauren.
I think that was a chair moving, but it kind of
some chair. Yeah, chair, huh?
Oh man, yeah. I really like.
She just whispered about them. She claims she just farted.
So Sergeant Hammer, I knew one person who used to play Sergeant Hammer all the time. I don't really see him play Sergeant Hammer anymore, but like, if you're really good at Sergeant Hammer, it's nuts, man. And you just need to know how to deal with your team not really like doing the right stuff, and just play Sergeant Hammer, man. And so much work.
Another thing I mentioned, like just with her thing, like you guys were, I think May had mentioned the all auto attacking thing, and it is a lot like that. Like, I've felt that all her talents that augment her siege mode are unnecessary because it's already good enough. You mostly take talents and the other things to shore up your weakness in every other way. Like,
yeah,
take the bullhead mines to push enemies back a bit. Oh,
so
take five of them so there's more mines to screw with people. Because that's really where you fall behind, is being able to deal with that stuff.
Haunted mines.
Haunted mines, that's right.
Right at the entrance. So much fun. Alright, so is that all that we wanted to talk about Sergeant Hammer? Because I think we've pretty much gotten through the topic list.
I mean, I think what we are left with here is that of the four champions discussed, and I guess all the champions in the game, Stitches is the best. So, yeah, I'm good. All
right, yeah, so...
I think someone wanted to talk about the possibility of lane skipping tactics.
Oh, right, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Just kind of threw that on because it's kind of interesting.
Let's talk.
You guys do that. I'm going to play my guitar.
No, please, don't do this to us.
I'm muting. That's not,
we haven't been bad. All right, so
okay.
Abra has disengaged for a little bit. Take it away. Let's talk skipping laning.
Yeah, so it's all about us now, finally.
I feel like this big weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
See, this is a nice ambience, actually. He's sitting there, he's strumming along, looks all peaceful, but we don't have to hear the really awkward strumming and the way the mic picks up the strings all weird.
And he looks at peace.
Yeah, he's definitely at peace, boys. So lane
skipping. I actually didn't read this thread on Reddit. So for someone who did or is familiar with this tactic, explain it to me, because I'm curious but also very skeptical.
Should I do it, Zavis?
Yeah, you go ahead. You're the gamer guy. You do it.
All right, gamer guy. I got my tag here.
Yeah.
I'm ready. So lane skipping is basically the video described, you know, the one we're talking about. It shows people going on Blackheart's Bay, and you know the middle towers? Yes? No?
Oh, yes, yes.
They went behind the enemy's first lane and sniped the minions when they were halfway across the map.
Yep. Ooh,
so
that's rough. That's rude.
Yeah, they took their entire team and they did that, which, I mean, if you can pull it off and disperse correctly after that, it means you just got a pretty big XP lead. You don't have to worry about mid anymore, and you're applying a lot of pressure to their mid towers, because their wave can't deal with yours, because they're not there. It's not so much as a game changer as like another opportunity that you can use to stack up. You know, like you get that initial, what is it, like 60% of a level, the waves initially, I think. You get that initial 60% of a level, the others are for to deal with, and then you can use it to stack up your advantage. You know, now you don't have to deal with mid anymore, so you can deal with top and then rush with four people to the chest. It brings up a lot of opportunities. But I think the discussion is if that's actually worth it. You know, dangerous possibilities of that. Is it actually a game changer, etc.?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of a strategy that is occasionally in League of Legends, proxy farming, where you farm ahead of the your lane opponent's turret so that only your creep are reaching the turret. And it forces the opponent to either let you free farm or it forces the opponent to deal with you and lose their own creep score, which in, you know, League of Legends gives you gold and experience. So but it just reminds me of that kind of like different kind of not radical but semi-radical strategy. I think ultimately it's probably not something that's going to, at least from how you described it, I don't think it's going to be something that people like me would ever have to worry about to in a pub match. Or if I did, you know, it'd be like kind of fun. But I don't think I'm going to run into it very often. It's a question of how many, if it does change the way tournaments, or the way teams play at tournaments on this map, and if it becomes that big, if Blizzard decides to do something about it.
I mean, a good example of something that is similar that was being done, like me and my former team, Leviathan, we would bum rush the top creep lane, and we would clear that as fast as possible and disregard the middle lane a tiny bit, you know, we would push all of our spells and burst, and then we'd be free to deal with middle, you know, but... Yeah, I mean, everything has its risk, I guess. You're really vulnerable to ganks and setups if you try to do that. I can't think of too many disadvantages besides that. I mean, I guess you could be taken a opportunity of by other people placing their stuff carefully. Maybe you could steal tower at that time. So, I don't know.
Yeah, seems just like it kind of reminds me of a fancy FYI. Like, for your information, this could be really fun if you pull it off.
Yeah, it could be a big XP boost.
But you're probably going to have to be playing with people you know.
Oh, yeah, that's not something you can do in a pub. Like,
yeah, you can't just say,
like, start the game. Okay, guys, we're doing this. We're going to all be there. Not going to be like me and my buddy who go there and then run into four of them and jai.
Yeah, if you do that in a pub, one person is going to say okay, and he's going to go top. One person is going to be AFK. One person's going to say, I muted you. And then you're like, why? And yeah, you've got your friend who's going to come with you, and you're both going to die. And then it's like, well, this is awkward.
I don't know. It sounds like a great time to me.
Yeah.
Welcome to Heroes of a Storm.
Yeah. I just, you know. So yeah, do we have anything else to talk about? Forecast is podcast.
So I was just welcoming you back to the show.
Yeah. Welcome everybody to Stormwatch. We're the
All right, we get to do a whole new episode now, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, fuck yeah, I'm ready.
I have a better idea. Unless you guys are all unless you guys have anything else to add, we've been gone about an hour, and we've got a big episode coming up next week because we'll be talking basically like live about, because I assume we'll want to do it on Tuesday or sometime next week. We'll be talking closed beta patch, and that's going to be huge. So let's wrap it up. Anybody have anything to plug? I think we're all good, right? Watch Biffy's stream. You going to be streaming this week?
I hope to.
Okay.
I actually want to make one more PSA because we were talking about Booty Bay.
Okay.
Is that what it calls it? Booty Bay? Pirates Bay?
No, Booty Bay is the Warcraft one.
Yeah, Pirates Bay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. I just wanted to say, if you are dedicated at right at level one to getting that vision camp taken right in that top center area, bless you. It's cool. I'm glad that you're really trying so hard to get that vision established right away. But please don't skip the chests just so you can fight over vision and die. It hurts. It hurts my soul.
Just another quick PSA. Guide to playing Blackheart's Bay. Pick Falstad. GG, you win.
He is really what can you do? In that map.
Oh, that's kind
the
of
thing. All you can do is put on some
vision sunglasses.
Yeah. Deal with it.
All right,
we're
guys,
really good at these PSAs.
Yeah, we love those PSAs on this show.
See, you didn't hear the music sting that came along with it, so you didn't know how great it actually was. All right, everybody, go as for those of you watching live, as Sleepyhead said, go watch Town Hall Heroes. That's what I'm going to be doing because I want to hear Idra talk about this game because I love Idra. Hence me spelling my name the way that I did, capitalizing it. That's all I got. Keep it crispy, everybody. I'm just going to start stealing other podcast outros because until I come up with a cool like catchphrase to end it with. So, you know, aloha. Have a good week, everybody. Yeah, thank you.
Nice. Hey. See ya.
Damn it, I usually do that, right? Good night, guys.